today on Anchored in the Word.
But I'm going to tell you something. It's more than just a prayer. It is a commitment to Him. It's repentance. It's turning from the way you were doing things. You're saying, you know, I can't, it's not going to work my way. And you're looking at Him now and saying, I want you. I want to do things your way now. I want you to come into my life and take over my life. I want to be yours now. It's so much more than just praying a prayer, you know, but that's the beginning of it. Having Christ being the master of your life.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Many people have rejected Jesus in their lives. In today's message, Pastor Bill teaches that many have been deceived into simply living for today without having an eternal outlook. We're encouraged to have a heavenly perspective. This comes from repentance of our sins and continual seeking and walking with the Lord. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with his continuing study entitled Beauty and the Beast.
But you'll be able to recognize this guy because he's anti-Christ, he's anti-God. And by the way, while we're talking about it, this word antichrist can mean the opposite of, but it means instead of. And chapter 13 is, this is what people get when they reject Jesus Christ, the beautiful one. This is what they're setting themselves up for. This is what they're choosing instead. Like I said, when you reject Christ, this is what you get. Verse 7 says, it was granted to him, that is the Antichrist, the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All the power in the world. Now, there's going to be some saints. There's going to be some people that come to Christ during that period of time. And it's going to be a rough time for those people that come to Christ. It's going to be really a rough time for Christians at that point in time. But we know that there will be some people apparently that will. Verse 8 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, that's where we get our beauty. Verse 8 is our beauty and the beast. Beauty, the Lamb who was slain for us. Now, he is the beautiful one. You can look at him as he walked in the Gospels. You look at this Jesus, you know, and he was accused of things, but he's the only one that's ever walked in flesh that never did anything wrong. He never sinned. He's the only one that's never sinned. And he always did the right thing in every situation. And he gave it all. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And he gave it all for us and went to that cross. And even on the cross, as he's there being nailed to the cross, suffering for our sins, never done anything wrong, you got the people blaspheming him right below him. And you would think that maybe at that point, you know, he'd had something, you know, to straighten them out. You know, he's like, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And if you truly know Christ, there's no way you're going to reject him. That's the key. So make it our business to come to know him. To know him is to love him. The people that reject him really don't have a clue who he is. They really don't have a clue who he is. He's irresistible. And the sad thing is they would rather choose chapter 13 and be with the beast and the false prophet and Satan in hell. That's where they're going to end up. You know, one of the things that chapter 13 is a last ditch effort. Because I was thinking there could be some people that actually read this in the tribulation period. As the whole thing, there's a great deception, there's all this going on, and there's like, this doesn't quite seem right, you know? And then they read this and like, oh, there, and their eyes are open. I see God is just saying, yeah, that's who he is. He's going to give even those people another chance. That's That's who he is. That's how loving that he is. In the midst of this, we're in the tribulation period. This guy's got all the power on earth, and people are following him because he's marvelous. He's doing all these signs and wonders, and it says that the ones that aren't are the ones whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, this understanding of God here, this little bit, causes some problems in some people's theology. And it's like this. How in the world, now you talk about this book was written before the foundations of the world. There's names written in it before the foundation of the world. So there's this book of names, the book of life. And then there's all these people. And you're telling me that was written before somebody actually said yes to Jesus or before they rejected him, they were already in that book? And so that makes people think, oh, then that book is sort of like a book, God's favorite book. He made it up before anybody existed. And then all those people, when they finally came along, they just ended up in heaven. And God made those people to receive him and made other people to reject him. No, that's not what he does. Think about that. That would violate God being a respecter of persons, right? He would make some people for heaven, some people. Here's my special book of you people who I made special. He didn't stack the deck, so to speak, when he did that. What he did was he gave everybody free will. He is love, and he made his creation, and he did all these things in love. All the creation wasn't selfish. He didn't, you know, like I used to play army as a little boy. I had my little army men, you know. It was about me and me being the general, I guess. And God didn't make us because he wanted to be some dictator who just needed some people to be over. He wanted a loving relationship. He wanted us to experience his love, how great he is. And even in Christ, he wants to demonstrate how loving he is by, even though we're sinners, he sent his son to die for us. Knowing, by the way, that we were going to reject him in the garden. But love is a choice we make, you see. Adam and Eve had that same choice in the garden. If it isn't, see, this is the whole thing about choice. If there's no choice, it's really not love. You get that? You become a puppet then if there's no choice. You just do what somebody tells you to do, and there's really no chance. Love is, you choose to love. You give your love, you know, and that's what God demonstrates to us. And so how does this work then? Well, the way it works is God's got foreknowledge, you see. He has that. We don't have that. But he knows already before it all happens who's going to be. He knows who's going to be in that book. There is such a book. Now, the thing I want to say is, well, then why in the world does he waste his time on all these people who are going to reject him anyway? I mean, that's the way I would think about it. Why would you waste your time on people? Because he loves, and he gives them the same love that he gives everybody else, even though they're going to reject him. See, that's what love does. But they do have their choice. And so chapter 13 is where people go, where they end up, who they end up with, because they rejected the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the earth. And then it says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Verse 10, he says, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, this is the reaping and a sowing kind of a thing, the idea here in verse 10. There's two sides. There's, you know, when this is interpreted, two sides, they look at this. I'll look at it this way, is that the beast is going to get what's coming to him. That's what I look at. He's going to get what's coming to him. And by the way, judgment is going to come to anybody else who rejects the free gift of life from Jesus Christ. Eventually, it will come. There will be a price to be paid. So what we've seen from verses 1 to 11 is we've seen the Antichrist, the beast, empowered by the devil, right? Two parts of the unholy Trinity, the devil, you know, not equal with the Father, but you get the idea that the devil, being the one who gives authority to the Antichrist, or the beast, as he's called here, the Antichrist, as we know that term. Now we get to verse 11, and we're going to talk now about this other beast. There's another beast. And this beast is called the false prophet. This beast is the one who would say in the Holy Trinity would take the place of the Holy Spirit. When I say that, I mean the Holy Spirit is here to shine light on Jesus, to lead people to Jesus, to show the miraculous works of Jesus. That's what he's about on this planet. And that's, as we look at this, we'll see this false, let's call it that, let's call it a false Trinity, an evil Trinity, if you will. But John sees this and he writes it. He says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. So the first one, the other beast, not to be confused with the first beast, the Antichrist, come up out of the water. And this beast is coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. That's quite a contrast. Two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And so this person that's going to come on the scene, the false prophet, is going to be speaking, pointing the finger at this Antichrist, this beast, and saying, look at him. Look how great he is. Look what he's done. The greatest promoter, and he's about getting people to get them to look and keep their eyes fixed upon the beast in the same way that the Holy Spirit does with us and to the world, by the way, to look at Jesus. Look what else he does. It says that, verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. You know, this is the thing about signs and wonders. I'm all for that. I'm all for signs and wonders. But we can't believe in signs and wonders. You know, in the Old Testament, God's prophets called fire down from heaven. Elijah called fire down from heaven. You know, we even see these guys that are in the tribulation period we saw earlier. They're, when somebody came against them, fire came out of their mouth and consumed. This is supernatural stuff that's happening, right? So we're seeing this fire coming at the supernatural things happening. Just because you see something supernatural, that doesn't mean it's God. That doesn't mean it's God. Oh, it's supernatural. It's out of this world, maybe. But it doesn't mean it's God. You know, even Satan can come as an angel of light, and he can mimic the power of God. He's been given some power and some authority here on earth. And for the purpose of, remember, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, the Bible says. So this deceiving spirit is going to deceive us. He's trying to deceive us and to get us to believe a lie. And so he performs great signs so that even he makes fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So apparently this is something that's going to follow the Antichrist around. He escaped, you know, assassination attempt or whatever it was. Something happened in his life that was like, man, this guy's he's unstoppable. You know, and so that's going to follow him around, and the false prophet's going to point to that. And it says, we're going to build an image now of the Antichrist. We're going to build this big image. And you know, you think back to the image in Daniel, and when everybody had to bow down, that's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be this big image, and it says that he deceives the people on the earth, and he's going to tell them that they're going to make an image. It says, verse 14, to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. It's going to take another step. I mean, you think it's not just a statue we're talking about here. It's not just some image. Now he's going to get to breathe life into this beast. Think about that. Another imitation of God himself. Breathing life in the man, right? Here we have something that's dead, not alive, and this guy's going to be given power to breathe. Think about the people of the earth. They're going to look at that and go, wow, who can ever do that? We've never seen that on TV before. We've never seen that in reality TV before, whatever they're going to think. This guy's going to have power. He's going to breathe life, it says, into this image. Verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. This is unbelievable. I mean, it's one thing to hear Nebuchadnezzar set up an image and say, you don't bow down to that. You're in the fiery furnace. I mean, that happened, right? And then, but he had to get his men to throw people into the furnace. It wasn't like the image did anything. It just kind of stood there. And you know, this is going to be on a whole different level. But the thing that's the same is if you don't bow down to that image, you're going to die. And the image has the power to kill you if you don't bow down. And who would want to be a Christian in those days? I mean, you're going to die for your faith if you don't bow down. So he causes, it says, all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads. This is another thing that people just on and on and on about, you know, the mark of the beast, you know, the number 666 tattooed on somebody's head or on their forehead. So, I remember when first barcoding came out, remember that, to scan? There it is, that's the mark of the beast, you know, because, you know, it's at the grocery store. And now the chips have just come out, right? Right? Everybody's getting a chip in their credit card or their ATM card now, right? You know, people, oh, that's the chip. That's the, you know, that's the thing, you know. These are things that are happening that we should be excited about, because we see the technology is getting to a place where these things that are talked about in the Word, by the way, that at one time they would have thought, that can't mean that. That's got to mean something else. It can't mean that. Well, now we're seeing that it does mean that. And so those that take this mark, it says, on their right hand or their forehead, a very prominent place. And verse 17, the technology is here today. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so it's either worship the beast or die. That's what it's going to come down to in that time. It's either worship the beast or die. Here is the wisdom, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Like I said, you can read an endless number of things of what this means. I would say to you regarding this mark, well, it's more than just, you know, some people were, oh, I want to take that. I can't get a credit card. I can't have a chip. Because if I do, that means I've taken the mark. No, you haven't. The people that take this mark are going to know what they're doing. They're not like stupid people that are, you know, they're going to know that they're signing up for this. You know, it's something that they know that, and they're going to agree with it. They're going to agree with the whole, you know, like you have to check a box. You know, you've read all this, you know, online. You have to check a box before you can go to the next step, right? I believe that's what it's going to be. They're going to know what they're doing. That only makes sense, that they're signing up for this. And it's basically, well, it's the only way we can stay alive. It's either that or die. Yeah, but you're going to be worshiping the beast. And they will count their lives more important than their eternity. And isn't that what it comes down to? Always, doesn't it? I mean, the world is trying to tell you that, no, right now is the most important time. I mean, you really need to enjoy this. You need to eat, drink, and be merry, and get all the gusto you can right now. And the devil's trying to convince us of that fact. There's nothing else. This is it. When you die, you just cease to exist. That's what he's telling the world. And trying to get everybody all in the here and now. And God says, no, there's much more than this. There's the here and now, yeah. There's the here and now. He's given us all things to enjoy. But then there's the even more important future. Eternity, it's called. Why is it? Because this life is likened to a vapor. It's very quick. Very quick, right? I mean, those of you that have lived to be 50 years old, you see, man, I talked to a lady that was in her 90s one day, and she said to me, I was just striking up a conversation. She goes, oh, it goes really fast. Because I always ask people in their 90s, I'm going, does it seem like it went fast? You know, I want to, you know, because it does to me. She goes, the older I get, the faster it goes. The older you get, the faster it goes. Yeah, the older you get, the faster it goes. Life is a vapor. It's really quick. But eternity doesn't end. It's a long part of our existence. So many people are concerned about the here and now, getting their little nest, you know, here and now. It's like they spend all the time, all their energy, everything that they are about getting everything ready for here, and they spend nothing on eternity. The idea of it, thinking about it, preparing for it. And for those people, unfortunately, they get stuck in the world. Chapter 13 is the person they're going to be acquainted with, because we're going to see the end of the beast and the false prophet and Satan himself. They'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Good. You know, it's like, yeah, they deserve to be there. But the sad thing is that people will be with them. The people that they blinded, that they deceived, but more than that, that rejected Christ. First comes the rejection. Then came the deception after that. They rejected Christ, the idea of Christ. And God's love for them. So we come back to beauty or the beast. There's only two choices. Two choices. Beauty or the beast. And I hope that this morning your choice has already been made, that you've received Christ. You believe that He is the only one. He is the master. He is the great protector. By the way, didn't finish that thought. We all need to be protected, but He's the only one that can really do that. He's proven in that. And He wants to be your protector, not just in this life, but in life to come. He's paid the price for it. But you must receive Him. The Bible says, to as many as receive Him, to those He gives the right to be the children of God, to those who believe in His name. You know, I've heard people say, oh, I've been a Christian my whole life. I'm thinking, uh-oh, red flag. Can't be a Christian your whole life. The Bible says, to as many as received Him. You don't receive Christ in the womb. I mean, you have to be understanding what you're doing, right? You have to understand first that you're a sinner. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, separated from God. Our sin has separated us from Him. The wages of sin is death, judgment. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you can't go to heaven by being a good person. You can't go to heaven by being good deeds. You know, so many people are trying to spend this life making up for all the bad things they did. And here's what I would say to you. You can't do that. There's not a scale that somehow you're trying to balance now. It's totally different. What you got to do, wherever your scale is, wherever you think it may be, they're all down like this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what happens is God says, forget the scale. Even in your best day, you couldn't make it to heaven. Instead, what I did is I died for you so that you could go. But what you must do is receive me into your life. And I want to tell you something. It's more than just praying a prayer. It starts that way, right? You confess Christ. You need to make that decision in your heart, right? And that decision is made. You say yes to Jesus, and then you pray. You could pray an outward prayer to receive Him. And that's, you know, you're just kind of acknowledging that. That's what you've done on the inside, and I'm kind of showing it on the outside. But I'm going to tell you something. It's more than just a prayer. It is a commitment to Him. It's repentance. It's turning from the way you were doing things. You're saying, you know, I can't, it's not going to work my way. And you're looking at Him now and saying, I want you. I want to do things your way now. I want you to come into my life and take over my life. I want to be yours now. It's so much more than just praying a prayer, you know, but that's the beginning of it. Having Christ being the master of your life. And changing you now from the inside out. And to escape the judgment that is to come, that's good news, by the way. That's great news.
From Hollywood to the latest top-selling books, the world is abuzz with talk about the end times. Apocalyptic events on the horizon seem to fuel this trend. Our world is so upside down. It's no wonder that people are clamoring for something more. Something new. The book of Revelation details these dark and glorious times that are on the horizon. May we hear and see Jesus as we study this book with Pastor Bell. You've been listening to Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. If today's teaching has ministered to you and you'd like to tell a friend about this message, or you'd like to listen to it again, it's archived at our website. That address is anchoredintheword.com. Perhaps today's message was exactly what you're looking for in a church. If you don't have a home church and you sense God is calling you to walk in obedience to Him, by being a part of the body of believers, please join us for worship Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. Pastor Bill also shares in-depth Bible studies every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. For more information, including driving directions, visit anchoredintheword.com. And then follow the link to the Calvary Chapel Coastlands Church website. We hope to see you soon. Thanks for listening today. Now please place a marker in your Bibles and make plans to join us again, as Pastor Bill will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation. It's our heart's desire that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.
see.